Please welcome former North Carolina Congressman and Chief of Staff to President Donald Trump, Mark Meadows.
Some people say former member of Congress, some people say the founder of the Freedom Caucus, but I can tell you what I'm best known as a former chief of staff of the most transformative president in our age, Donald J. Trump. But I'm here today to talk about my good friend, Ralph Norman. And Ralph, we're blessed to be friends. Ralph says it, if you want a friend in Washington, D.C., get a dog. But I'm here to tell you that Ralph is true blue. He's a true conservative, and honestly, he has stood for the values of freedom and liberty day in, day out. He has taken South Carolina values to Washington, D.C., not the other way around. You know, just across the line, in North Carolina, they have a Democrat governor. Now, I know you're not going to let that happen here in South Carolina. But I'm also here to say that just having a Republican isn't good enough. We need to make sure that we send the best conservative, and I'm here to support the conservative man that will make sure that South Carolina continues to be that beacon of freedom. I'm here to support Ralph Norman for governor. I haven't seen a crowd this big since one of the Trump rallies. You know, Ralph and I served together in Congress. He was always consistent, always willing to stand up for those values. The Club for Growth calls him the defender of economic freedom. The Citizens Against Government Waste call him the taxpayer superhero. And the New York Times, I don't know that they meant this in a positive way, they called him the ultra-conservative, and I would agree with them on that particular topic. And there are reasons for that, because Ralph has not just had a career in politics, he's had a career in business. He's been a businessman, and I can tell you that we have a successful developer in the White House turning things upside down in Washington, D.C., and I think it's time that we send a developer to Columbia to clean things up there as well. What do you think? But I can tell you, it is not just those values that I hold dear about my good friend Ralph Norman. He's a committed Christian. He's been married to his wife, Elaine, for over 50 years. That's hard to believe. But he also is a man of faith who takes everything to the Lord in prayer. And while you were being led in prayer out here, he was back in the green room with his entire family, bowing their heads and praying for this great state. That's the kind of man that Ralph Norman is. All you need to know is to meet his wonderful family to see what a godly, wonderful man he is. He's a man of conviction, a man with a heart and a fortitude for you, the people, and we, the people of South Carolina. But before we hear from Ralph, let's hear from his son, Warren Norman, and so I'd like to ask Warren to come up here to the stage at this time.
everybody. So I want to invite the rest of my family up here. Goodness, that's a lot of people. I invite the rest of the family up here. Here they come. And last but not least, my mom. Well, this is a lot of people. It's an honor to be here today, and I'm here on behalf of my entire immediate family, and this is just our immediate family, believe it or not. I've had the privilege of introducing dads for 8 years, and my mom tells me I kind of have to because 8 years ago I stood in this very room and I introduced him for his congressional run that he won, and so she says it's a tradition, so we have to keep it going to continue winning, right? And of course, I want to do this because I come at this from a different perspective. Aside from mom, I probably know dad as well as anybody on the planet. I obviously grew up in his household, and I had the opportunity to work with him for many years. And 8 years ago when I did this, I told many of you in this room and many of you that weren't in this room that some things about dad, so I'm going to reflect on those things. I told you 8 years ago that he was principled and he would not move off of that principled line. Unfortunately, so many people in politics, they get in for good reasons and then they just make one misstep because the pressures of politics are so great, whether it be from the media, from constituents, from other politicians, certainly from special interests, and a lot can't handle it. And so they misstep just a little bit, and kind of like a ship at sea, they just drift off, and after 5, 10, 20, a ridiculous 30 years in politics, they're so far off course they don't even know where they started, and they certainly can't get back. I told you dad would be principled. I told you dad would be, well, speaking of 30 years, isn't it about time we had term limits in politics? I told you dad would be frugal. I might even use the word cheap. I don't know. I told you he would watch after your tax dollars as if they were his own. And I told you stories about how when I was a kid, he used to pull up to drive-thrus and leave so much room that he could open his door and pick up all the change on the ground. It's true. And I don't know, you could ask the grandkids, but he probably still does it today. There's no telling how much money he made doing that. I told you how in high school I would get in more trouble for leaving a light on than that one beer I drank in high school. It's true. The light bulb part is true. Not, anyway. I told you that dad could not be bought. He had a backbone and would not be corrupted. And you know, a lot of these things and many more, they're talking points that a lot of politicians use. They talk about these things, but they unfortunately don't live up to the billing. They just don't have the ability to do them. And I can stand up here today and I can tell you 8 years later that the things that I just described now and the things I described 8 years ago, he has done every single one of them and batted 1,000. He has not been corrupted. He has served Congress with a backbone and integrity and morals. He is well respected from his peers. He has absolutely stayed that principled line, and he has watched after your tax dollars. And why is he able to do that? Congressman Meadows mentioned it. It's because he did not get into politics in his 20s. He raised his family. He didn't run for the first political office until me and my three sisters were out of the house. He then went to work for over 30 years in business where he learned how to negotiate. He learned business principles that he could apply to politics. And as Congressman Meadows mentioned, there's another person who went into politics late in their life who knows how to negotiate, and that's obviously our President Donald Trump. And And as we turn the page to the governor run, right, those same principles apply. Because, unfortunately, Columbia needs cleaning up just as much as D.C. needs cleaning up. We need to enact term limits. And Dad, after 8 years where arguably he knows he's well-respected and possibly has more influence, is walking away because he said he would. And he is standing up for what he said, and he is one of the only people to put forth actual term limits bills while he was in Congress. Many of his closest allies would not support him on it because they didn't want to vote themselves out of a job, right? So we need to do that, and most importantly, we need a businessman in politics. We need business people to lead this state and business people with the background. Not in the history of anything, politics or anything else, have weak people been able to make substantive change. And substantive change is made by strong leaders with the backbone who are willing to stand up for what they believe. And that's exactly what Dad has done in Congress, and that's exactly what he will do as governor of South Carolina. So I ask you, and you can answer, do you want a weak person as your next governor?
No.
Right? Do you want someone without a backbone as your next governor?
No.
Do you want a lawyer as your next governor?
No.
Listen, no offense to the lawyers in the room, but you are well represented in Columbia and in politics. On the flip side, do you want a strong leader?
Yes.
Do you want someone with a backbone?
Yes.
Do you want a businessman who will clean up Columbia and actually make change? We need somebody who has a business background, can get things done. Our roads need to be fixed. You know, we've got to have someone who can actually do these things. Dad has proven this. You're in the right place today. So please help me give a resounding intro to my father and your next governor of the state of South Carolina, Ralph Norman.
Congressman said, this is just like a Trump rally. I've never seen this many people. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jerry DeVinny. Thank you, Warren, for a great introduction. Let me recognize a few people. I will try not to get into too many names, but I just want to thank a lot of you have driven from places all over the state. You stood in hot weather. You're crammed in a room like this. So thank you for what you're doing. This is, folks, this is a movement. This is a movement that we can start, and it begins right here. Let me thank my staff. Y'all stand up from Washington, D.C. These are the people that make me look good. Let me thank my staff here in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Y'all stand up. There. When you need a passport, when you need a DD-214, these are the people that make it happen. Mark Harris, stand up. I want to thank you for coming, and his wife, Beth. Mark is doing a tremendous job in Washington, D.C. as a true conservative, and I just want to thank you. Let me say, all elected officials, would you stand up, please? I know we've got a lot of local city. And I especially want to give a shout out to my Freedom Caucus friends. Stand up. That's who we're going to join forces with when we get to Governor's Mansion. They fight for freedom. We do the same thing in Washington, D.C., as Mark said. And Mark was the founder and one of the leading causes of the Freedom Caucus in Washington, D.C. Thank you all for coming. You've driven a long way, many of you, and I appreciate this a real tribute for you to be here, and I'm honored that you've made the time to come. For those of you who don't know me that well, I served in Congress for the 5th District for the past 8 years. It's been the best time of my life. The people that you serve and what you can do in Congress has just been amazing, and it's an honor for me to serve it. As a proud member of the House Freedom Caucus, we have moved the needle by making our budget more conservative. Yeah. Now, folks, some people say I've earned a reputation of being uncompromising. Always trying to build to make a bill more conservative. Well, folks, I take that as a compliment. I'm proud of it. When it comes to defending South Carolina values and protecting your hard-earned tax dollars, I drive a hard bargain, and I don't apologize for that. It's your money. Those of you in Congress, a lot of politicians think it's their money. It's not their money. It's your money. I did not spend my life in politics. I'm a builder, as Warren said. For over 30 years, I've worked as a real estate developer. My brother, my father, and now the next generation that you see of Normans have created one of the most successful real estate development companies in South Carolina. We've built shopping centers, we've built homes, we've built neighborhoods. We've built the very building that we're in today and the neighborhoods around it. Those projects have created countless good jobs for people all across this great state. Along the way, I built a great family. Elaine and I have just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. Stand up, Elaine. Elaine, judging by all the claps, you could beat me. We have 4 children and 17 grandchildren. Y'all stand up and let's see those big smiles. And y'all, they were excited when we left the house. They love doing this, and all of them have a good smile on their face. The foundation for everything I do, whether it's in business or public life, is very simple. It boils down to faith, it boils down to family, and it boils down to freedom and the determination to implement these principles. But I've seen way too many corrupt politicians in Columbia, South Carolina, looking out for themselves and not for you. And in Washington, I've seen career politicians who care more about their next election than they do securing our future generations. We do not need more career politicians, folks, or lawyers running government. We need business leaders, people who have signed the front of a paycheck, and people who have signed the back of a paycheck. Folks who have built something, taken risks, made money, yes, and lost money. I've done both. And it's exactly the kind of real-world experience that I have had, and that we need those experiences from people who choose to serve in public office. Thankfully, as Mark said, we have a great businessman and fellow developer back in the White House. What a difference 6 months has made in this country. Folks, I'll tell you this, too, seeing him operate, what he did to wipe out the world's terror of Iran, what he did, the courage that he had to do what he did, is going to put him on the annals of the greatest presidents we have ever had, pure and simple. And I believe that South Carolina needs that same kind of leadership right now, which is why I'm here to announce I'm running to be the 118th governor of South Carolina. I'm running for governor to shake things up. We're going to clean up Columbia, and finally, we're going to take down the corrupt political establishment once and for all. You know, because if you're going to change the system, you cannot be part of the system. I owe nothing to lobbyists. I owe nothing to the Columbia bureaucratic elite. My allegiance is to you, the people of South Carolina. And if we're going to prepare South Carolina for the future, folks, we're going to have to make some changes. We're going to pass term limits for state legislators. Public service was never meant to be a lifelong career. Our founders never intended for politicians to live off government forever. Let them come back and live under some of these laws that they pass. It continues with ethics reform. No more government contracts for legislators or their families. No more legislators becoming lobbyists. Tort reform. Tort reform is needed now more than ever because frivolous lawsuits are being filed at every level. It's at every business. To that restaurant owner who has had to close due to outrageous claims, outrageous insurance premiums. To the construction project, which is being held up due to frivolous lawsuits filed by out-of-control, wacko environmental groups wanting to protect the salamander and the one-eyed bat. Can you believe that? That's the truth, folks. That's it. We'll have no more judges appointed by a bunch of liberal trial lawyers. Talk about a conflict of interest. Talk about a conflict of interest. When I'm governor, we'll let the people vote on judges because the best way to hold judges accountable is let them hear the voices of we the people. I will use the bully pulpit to bring the case directly to the people. And guess what, folks, and to all our Freedom Caucus friends, the veto will be used. And if that doesn't work, I'm telling you right now, the so-called Republican rhinos, legislators that don't stand for the reforms that we the people are calling for, they don't deserve to be in office, folks. And we'll beat them in a Republican primary if that's what it takes. Here's what I will do on day one. My top priority will be fixing South Carolina's infrastructure. Yes, we will finally fix our crumbling roads and bridges. Get this, South Carolina leads the nation in 50% of our roads that need to be rebuilt. 50% from the ground up. It's totally unacceptable to have our roads, bridges, and drinking water and sewer to have a D rating, which is at the Department of Transportation, a D rating. That's unacceptable. And it's unacceptable that South Carolina leads the nation in fatalities on our secondary roads. And yet our state legislators this year couldn't find money to fix our roads, but they sure could find a way to give themselves an 8% pay raise in the middle of the night. That's a problem, and we're going to fix that. Regarding schools, as governor, I'll make sure the money follows the child through school choice. And let me be clear, boys will go into boys' bathrooms. And girls will go into girls' bathrooms. In South Carolina and in the Bible, folks, there are only two genders, male and female. That's it. As your governor, we will need our citizens to be safe, so we'll need to empower our police force to take the handcuffs off police and put them back on the criminals. As your governor, I want to make South Carolina's government accountable to the taxpayer, the one who pays the taxes. How can we do this? I will implement a DOGE commission for South Carolina that roots out waste, fraud, and abuse. We will cut millions in wasteful spending. We're going to identify it and let you see it. And let me tell you this, for the Chinese who have bought land in South Carolina, we're going to find it. We're going to try to get it back, or we'll make regulations so hard they can't do anything with it. Folks, we cannot be a state that is complacent. If you want to think of a state that is complacent, look at California. After Ronald Reagan left the governor's office 50 years ago, like South Carolina, California had beautiful beaches, beautiful national parks, and beautiful cities. Today, if you visit, it has become a cesspool. High taxes, high crime, unbearable government regulations, and the people are fleeing. And guess where a lot of them are coming? South Carolina. As governor, I'm not going to let that happen on my watch to a state where I was born and raised, and now that my children and families live. We can't let it become another California. Being a builder and a developer is about having a vision for a place. And I have a vision for South Carolina. Unless the priorities laid out to you today are implemented, South Carolina will not be ready to handle the growth coming our way, folks. A derated infrastructure alone can't handle the growth. Our schools cannot handle the growth. Our cities and counties and the infrastructure cannot handle the growth. If we allow eight years of weak, feckless leadership into the governor's mansion, we will be in danger of total stagnation. I've learned a lot of lessons from a career in business and in politics. And it's simple, but it goes like this. Your word matters. Your reputation matters. Your character matters. And your honesty matters. I will, as your governor, I will apply a rule, ABC rule, for every decision that I make and with every appointment that I make to all important boards and commissions. A is for accountability, B is for boldness, and C is courage. And folks, I will tell you what excites me the most. I could really care less about the title of governor. What really excites me is appointing the business people to all the important boards and commissions. It shouldn't go to lawyers. It shouldn't go to politicians. It's for people who have lived the American dream, because not because of a government handout, but because of sweat, hard work, and determination to succeed. People like Jay Myers, people like Jim Shore, Nash Johnson, Jim Curtis, Alan Garner, and many others sitting in this room who have built companies from the ground up. They didn't need a government handout. I want a pit bull when it comes to negotiating on behalf of South Carolina. And let me tell you this, And I'll give you an example. When a business comes calling that wants to come to South Carolina, don't tell me about getting all this government money from other states so you'll walk away. We don't open our coffers for that. Don't give me inflated numbers of sales that you will have in the future. Don't tell me about how many future jobs you're going to generate. What are my questions and the people that I put in office? How much equity are you going to invest day one? What kind of balance sheet do you have to stand the test of time? What kind of return on our investment? And it's not how much of a penalty you'll pay if you don't stay open and take our money. It's the penalty that you'll pay. So, folks, that's one way that I look. I'm excited about that. My mantra will be lead, follow, or get out of the way. Folks, this is not about me. This is about the future of this great state, my 17 grandchildren, and each and every one of you. Clean up Columbia, clean up the corrupt political establishment will allow you to finally have accountability in every dollar we spend. And we'll give an account for every dollar we spend of your money. We're going to let the people vote on judges so we have a system of laws that reflect your values. By the time I have completed my service as your governor, you will have thousands of new infrastructure projects that our current and future generations will enjoy. And your grandchildren and mine will be attending high-performance schools. Winston Churchill once said during the darkest days of Great Britain that there will be a time when doing your best is not good enough. You must do what's required. I am the only candidate with a proven conservative record. Folks, I don't just talk the talk. We walk the walk, and we'll continue to walk the walk. I will tell you, this is not going to be easy. The establishment will come after me. I get that. But that's what makes me want to do it. And that's why people recruiting other people who are in it to just do a job. And I think today I would ask you, and I call them the three T's are given by God. God gives us time. He gives us a talent. And he gives us a tie, the country to ability to make money. So if you believe in what we're saying, invest some of your time into this campaign. Invest some of your talent into this campaign. And yes, invest some of your treasures, because the opposite side is going to fund candidates that are going, it's going to be unbelievable. I've already heard about, I will be dwarfed in money. I'm going to be dependent on you. Every business ought to take an interest in every citizen in this campaign. I'm not letting South Carolina go backward for 8 years. So, I can't do it alone, but we the people can. So, with your help, as your governor, nothing could be finer than to be in South Carolina. I just want to say this in closing, too. This is such an enthusiastic crowd that you just don't see every day. And I just want to, again, say thank you. And help us win this election. The people will win it. We can start a movement just like what we started right here. God bless you, and God bless the great state of South Carolina.